Father, we just thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you, Father God, that you're here in all your fullness. I just thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who lives and abides within this house. I thank you for your angelic angels, Father, that are on the move right now, assisting your people. I thank you, Father God, that they're in this room this morning, ministering to your people, doing only what you can do. And Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for complete freedom, Father God, to worship you in truth and in spirit. We thank you that you are a true Father who looks after his children. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. My children, I love you with an everlasting love. How I wish that you would believe that. How I wish that you would take that love that I have for you and shed it abroad to those around about you. My love conceals all things. My love goes from everlasting to everlasting. Love does not abound in my houses. Love does not abound in the homes of those who call themselves my children. Without love, I cannot use you as a vessel of honor. I ask you this day to choose love over hate and discord. I ask you to choose love over selfishness and pride. I ask you to choose love so you can take it to a lost and dying generation. Take my sword of love this day. Take it to those who are downcast, brokenhearted, have no hope for a future. Take the love that I offer you and give it freely to the world. I say once again, if you can't love, I can't use you. If you're self-centered, I can't use you. You have to be totally and completely open unto me, your Father. And you must shed my love abroad to those who are lost and dying. I'm going to teach this morning on rooted and grounded in love. In Isaiah 26, 3 through 4 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. If your mind is stayed on Jesus Christ, then he's going to keep you in perfect peace, is what that's telling you, right? Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. We have to understand this morning, persecution of the church has just begun. We've only seen a little bit of what is going to transpire. And if we don't trust in God who is the rock, we're not going to make it. I'm reading so many things where people are just in such disarray. And you can tell by what they write, they don't trust God. And they're trusting in man. And I'm hoping and praying that each one of you in here this morning, that you're trusting God and not man. In these days of worldwide economic uncertainty, many people, even Christians, are living in fear of financial ruin. They don't realize God has already provided for them. Why don't they realize that? It's because nobody's ever told them, or they're not a praying people who hear God's voice, and God is not leading, guiding, and directing them. As citizens of heaven, Christians don't have to live under the world's economic system of fear and lack. They can live on heaven's system of love and abundance. They can live on heaven's system of love and abundance. God has told us over and over again for quite a few years now that when all this tragedy comes down, this darkness comes down, that He would keep those whose mind was stayed upon Him, that He would provide everything that we have need of. And I'm hoping that each one of you in here this morning, you believe that, and you're living by that, and it doesn't matter what things look like, you're moving on with God, knowing that God is taking care of you. We need to learn how to develop faith in God's love for us. We need to learn how to develop faith in God's love for us, so our faith is not contaminated by fear, and our prayers are effective and powerful. Read that again. We need to learn how to develop faith in God's love for us. Why? So our faith is not contaminated by fear, and our prayers are effective and powerful. Very simple. God's word is very simple. It's not confusing. The reason why we think it's confusing is because we don't have the Holy Spirit in His fullness. And when we read the word, the Holy Spirit can't lead, guide, and direct us to the truth of the word. Why is it that the world can talk about the economic problems and try and find solutions, but the church cannot because we are speaking negative? If the church is going to get through the coming storms, they are going to have to get it in their spirits how much the Father loves them. Some of you people don't love your children enough. You don't give them what they really need. Other people just give them too much. But there is a happy medium, and this is where God is. He's always in the happy medium. He always takes care of His children with what they have need of. And I'm hearing God say, my children will never lack if they can start trusting me. People are getting mad at God for what? This junk that has been happening and is going to continue to happen is because people will not quit their sins. How long has God been seriously trying to get those who claim Him as Lord to get out of sin? Now I said seriously. Seriously, the past 20-some years. Before that, the earliest I know of is 1978. God told me we were living in the days of Noah. And it could have been going on longer than that, that God's been trying to get His church to get out of sin. I'm sorry, but you cannot, there's no gray line. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either holy or you're not holy. There is no gray area. Even though a lot of churches preach that, and even though a lot of people sitting in the house of God think they're going to go to heaven, living in the gray area that doesn't exist, it just doesn't exist. And God's been calling us for about 3 years now, be holy as He is holy. Get rid of all the sin and junk in your life. Some in the church are saying, don't talk about these things because it will scare the people. I looked in my Bible for the words, go tell, to see if God sent messengers to tell the people of trouble that was coming their way. I said some of the church are saying, don't talk about these trying times because it will scare the people. So I looked in my Bible for the words, go tell, to see if God sent messengers to tell the people of trouble that was coming their way. And in Exodus 33, 5 and 6 says, for the Lord had said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, go tell. Right? You are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments that I may know what to do with you. Therefore the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. God told Moses, go tell the people that if I come down and walk among them, I'm going to kill them all. Right? He said, but take off your ornaments, so I can see what I'm going to do with you. You can go in there and read the rest of it and find out what he did. But I'm just showing you where God does warn you before things happen. 2 Chronicles 36:15. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. See, this is what God has been doing to this church, to all the churches. He's been persistent in telling you you need to get it together. Verse 16 says, but they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy. This is where we're at today. There is no remedy because God's people are still sinning. Then Deuteronomy 29 verse 5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. You have not eaten the bread, and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. God said, I did all these wonderful things for you just so you would know that I'm God. But we know they still didn't follow God. They still didn't repent. Then in 1 Chronicles 21, you can read 1 through 15 at home. He said, go tell David. In that scripture, the prophet said, God told the prophet, go tell David. But, and he told him what was going to happen. The point is, God didn't just zap David. He sent someone to tell him. Are you listening here? God has been doing the same thing to the church ever since I've become born again. Before that, I'm quite sure. And the church is not listening to what God is saying. So whatever comes down the pike, you can't blame God because he has forewarned and forewarned and forewarned, and you have not taken the warning. The devil will make you think you're prospering in your sin. He really will. Won't he, Alan? But see, he knows he's going to pull the plug. The devil knows he's going to pull the plug on you one day when he has you out of God's hands altogether, and then you're going to be sitting out there all by yourself. Church, it is God's love that is causing all of this that's going on. He loves us too much to see us destroyed. Well, okay, I put down here, he loves us too much to let us sink into hell without a warning. Ephesians 3:16 says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, he is God, all right? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded where? In love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be, why all this? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you will be filled with all the fullness of God, you will love unconditionally. And you won't lust love, you will love love. God has promised us the knowledge of his love in 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It starts out, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. That isn't true in the church today. The church has not come to know that. Now, I'm not saying everybody, if the shoe fits, put it on, all right? If it doesn't, just say amen. Now, if you are believing that love, then you will act on it and put it into operation. And when we do, we reach out into areas that pass human knowledge. In other words, you will love the unlovable. You will love people who curse and abuse you, and people who think that you're crazy. But what you're doing is you're walking in the love of God. Faith works by love. So if you don't, this is the reason why a lot of people don't have faith, is because they don't have love. And because they don't have love, then there's no faith. Faith works by love. How many of you can honestly say there's days you say, God, please help me to love today? That your love has just been just wore out. And you have to say, God, you have to come and help me love today. And probably if you're like me, you've been saying that more recently, because the enemy is working harder trying to steal our love walk from us. And we have to fight harder to make sure we keep the love walk going, because if he can steal our love walk even for one day, then he has us in his grips. All right? Faith works by love. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:16 that faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one, not part of them, but all of them. Faith works by love. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:16 that faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one, not part of them, all of them. So if you're walking in love, then all the fiery darts are quenched. If you're not walking in love, then the fiery darts don't have to be quenched. We need to develop faith in God's love. See, some people can't love themselves, therefore they can't believe that God loves them, and therefore then they can't love other people. It's just a vicious cycle. You have to learn yourself. I didn't say pride. You have to learn to love yourself first. And then whenever you hear about God's love, then you have to let God's love just saturate you and let that love wrap itself around about you. And then as you do that, you can love the unlovable. All right? To develop your faith in God's love or in anything else from God, you have to learn what the Word says about it. In Romans 10:17, says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't go to church, then you're not going to hear about the love of God, and your faith is not going to grow. A lot of people say, well, I can sit at home and read my Bible. That's true. Then why are you not walking in the love of God? It's because you are not learning what you need to learn as you go through your Word. If you ask the Holy Spirit to read the Word with you, he'll show you how much God loves you just through his Word. And, you know, I think about Paul. You know, Paul killed the Christians up until the time that Jesus got his attention. And from that point on, he was working for the Christians, working for God, and he suffered. He was persecuted from that point on, and he didn't deny Christ. He sat in prison and wrote most of the epistles, but he sat in prison and sent encouraging letters to the churches to tell them of God's love. And he was sitting in prison, being beat. Do you understand this? That's when you know you're saturated with God's love, is whenever you can still talk about love even when you yourself are in prison. You know, the enemy has you bound in some way. The enemy had Paul bound a lot of times, but he still talked about the love of Christ. The problem with the body of Christ, God was dealing with me about this morning, is that the body of Christ thinks, oh, if you have a problem, then God doesn't love you, or God's not near you, or God doesn't hear you. That's not true. And if you really look at all the disciples in the Bible, every one of them were persecuted. And they walked close to God. They were anointed men and women of God, but they were persecuted, but they did not deny Christ's love. And they went ahead and did the things that God called them to do through the persecution. In the body of Christ, they're a bunch of silly people because they think that they should just sail through life, and that's not true. See, I was silly when I was first born again because I thought that's what was going to happen. But I soon found out that that does not happen. You don't sail through life just because you're a born-again Christian. In fact, you're more tormented by the enemy than before you became a born-again Christian. The devil doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't want you to get filled with the Spirit. He doesn't want you to know the truth that's in the Word. And once you start learning the truth, that's when he starts attacking you. So if you're going to say, here I am, Lord, use me, then you need to make sure that you have enough stamina in you to stand the attacks of the evil one. All right, for example, Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yeah, do you believe that? No, you don't. Most of the body of Christ doesn't believe that. You just listen to them talk 10 minutes and you'll know they don't believe that scripture. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Put that word first place. Don't ever go by how you feel about the love of God. Don't confess anything else. Be confident in the fact that God's mercy and goodness follow you all the days of your life, no matter what's going on around about you. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It doesn't matter what's going on in your body or in your home or in your marriage or whatever. God's goodness will follow you all the days of your life. You know, one time God said to me, daughter, you have to live life. I was complaining because I was going through all these problems. He said, you have to live life. I don't take life away from you. You have to live it to get through it. And everything you go through, I'm saying this, everything you go through should strengthen you, should strengthen your character and make you a better witness for Christ, right? Come on. You should read the book of 1 John over and over on a regular basis. Meditate on the scriptures concerning God's love. Meditation develops a capacity for faith. How many of you have to say, God, I know you love me. I know your word tells me you love me. I do that sometimes. Boy, you know, the devil's hard and he's bounced on your head like your trampoline. And you have to keep confessing, God, I know you love me. I know you're with me. I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know you let me go through this valley. I know your right hand holds my hand. That's how I get through some of the things I have to go through. You know, I'm not some spirit that wanders around here in the air. I'm a human being, and we all have emotions, and the enemy works on our emotions, does he not? So, you know, if something's troubling you, don't think that you've lost your religion. Just keep confessing what the Word of God says about you and about Him, and keep on going. As you meditate in God's word and your capacity begins to grow, you begin to recognize the power that God's love can have in your life. As you realize the fullness of God's word, the things of Satan will begin to shrink and lose their grip over you. Again, Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. The only way that Christ is going to dwell in your hearts by faith is if you're rooted and grounded in love. Now, how can you possibly say you're rooted and grounded in Christ if you are not rooted and grounded in love? Because Jesus is love. God is love. You know, the Godhead is love. We are to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. In his parable of the sower in Mark 4:15 through 17, Jesus said that those sown on stony ground have no root in themselves. We are to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. In his parable of the sower in Mark 4:15 and 17, Jesus said that those sown on stony ground have no root in themselves. They heard the word with gladness, but when persecution and affliction came for the word's sake, why did they come for the word's sake? They were offended. They didn't respond in the love of God. Now, don't lie. Answer this yourself. How many of you get offended more than you care to even talk about? But you keep it to yourself. You give it to God. And say, God, I know that you love me. And I know you knew this person was going to do this to me before it ever happened. I'll just keep on walking. Amen. And then you forgive that person and you keep right on walking. Okay. So I said they didn't respond in the love of God. They responded in the natural realm, and Satan stole all the word that was in them. They were not rooted in love. And we're talking about what God said about the sower in Mark 4:15 and 17. They responded in the natural realm, and Satan stole all the word that was in them. They were not rooted in love. See, if you're rooted in love, it doesn't matter how offended you become, Satan cannot steal your love or your joy. And that we all know that Satan tried to steal our joy this past year. We all know he threw everything at us he could do, throw at us to steal our joy. But we also know that God encouraged us and told us, don't let him steal your joy. He can't steal your joy, he can't steal your love. Amen. God is declaring to the church that we can have a comprehensive revelation of his love, its height, its depth, its width, and its breadth. To know his love is to know God because he is love. God is telling us, I will teach you all here, all there is to know about me. All right, to know his love is to know God because he is love. When you're not walking in love, then you don't know God. I don't care what you say. And you can't walk in love just when you feel like it. If you have to go to your prayer closet and beat your head on the floor so to make that devil leave you alone, you say, I'm going to stay in love. I don't care what you throw my way. Right? And God is telling us, I will teach you all there is to know about me. We need to start acting on the word concerning the love of God. And 1 John 4:11-12 said, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Beloved, talking to you guys here. If God so loved you, you also ought to love one another. Amen. No one's ever seen God. No one, you know, and people have pictures of Jesus, but what we need to be is when they look at us, they see Jesus, they see God, they see the Holy Spirit, because they see the love flowing out of us. And Satan will come at you and try to make you look like the devil himself. He really will. But you have to say no. You have to learn that word no to the devil. I'm a child of God and I walk in love and I'm not going to be like you are. Right? You don't understand how important it is to learn the love walk right now. Without it, we're nothing. Absolutely nothing, the Bible tells us that. But if we don't have that true love walk, we're not going to make it through all the darkness that's coming across the land. You know, and if you know, it's just too much hate out there, even among the brethren. By practicing this love on one another, the love of God is perfected in us. The word perfected means allowed to run its full course. By practicing this love of God on one another, the love of God is perfected in us. The word perfected means allowed to run its full course. You can let God's love run its full course in your life. You really can. You know, I know that God loves me because, you know, I don't call people and tell them that I'm going through a bad time, but I'll get an email and somebody say, you know, God really laid you on my heart today and I've been praying for you. I hope everything's well. And I've just been going through the worst battle of my life. And I know that God loves me so much that he's laid me upon somebody's heart so they would pray for me. And that goes for everybody in this room. Everybody in this room. You know, if you're going through a rough time, you're not going through that thing alone because that rough time alone, because God has laid you upon somebody's heart so they could pray for you so you could make it through the rough time that you're going through. That's how it works. It's the only way it works. And you know what God will do? He'll pick somebody that really loves you to pray for you, that has compassion for you. Amen. God laid somebody in my heart for 3 days, and I finally emailed him, and I said, "Hope, I know you're all right because God told me to lay you on my heart 3 days ago, and I've been praying." And they wrote back, and they said, "Thank you. You'll never know what that means to me." So, you know, it meant a lot to know that God laid them upon my heart and probably other people's hearts too. And you need to understand this. God told me one time, daughter, you're being prayed for all over the world. Your name is known all over the world. You know, we just think nobody knows us, nobody's praying for us. For each one, you need to understand that God has laid you on people's hearts all over the world. I hope I'm not putting you to sleep back there. But, you know, you're always being prayed for no matter what you're going through. Love never fails. Today we are reaching for that zero failure rate. Love never fails. So this morning we are reaching for that zero failure rate. It is possible to walk in perfect love and it will come to pass. It really is possible to walk in perfect love. I'm just going to give you a testimony of something I forgot. I totally, completely forgot about it. Because I said I would never allow a man to lay a hand on me. But God, you know, this is, I don't know why God did this, but he brought my to my remembrance where my first husband beat me so bad one time that I thought he broke my arms. And the things he did to disgrace me after he beat me was terrible. Because he took me to my boss's house, and when she answered the door, he threw me naked on her kitchen floor. And I was bleeding, you know, because he threw me out of the car a couple times between the time my house to their house. He just didn't, I was running a restroom for them, and he didn't want them to like me. But anyhow, the next day I had to go to the airbase because I couldn't use my arms, and I had bad cuts on my body. And they said, your husband did this to you. And I said, no. Typical woman, I fell down the steps type thing, you know. They were going to court-martial him, and he would have been put in prison. But I said, no, he didn't do this. And so they had to let it go. I totally, completely forgot about that. And, you know, I had that man in my home when he was dying, sat by his bed praying for him and took care of him. And I was there when he took his last breath. That thing never come to my mind. And God, when he shared this with me again, and you know, and I saw the pain and everything he did to me, he said, but you still loved him. It would not allow them to put him in prison, and you was with him when he died. Now, you know, perfect love casts down all vain imagination. I'm going to put it that way. That I forgot about that. My kids are maybe 5, 6 years old. They're what, 60 now? And God brought it to my remembrance. You know, guys, you can go through anything if God is in it, if God is with you, I should say. And God will keep you. Yes, I got beat up really bad, and yes, a lot of other things happened, but God was with me. And he vindicated me. And it was my first husband that got in trouble, not me, because of something stupid he was doing. Are you understanding this? Now, I could have, I guess, carried that in my memory all the days of my life, and it could have destroyed me. But I totally forgot it. It wasn't one of those things I just wiped out of my mind like people do, you know, that they can't don't want to remember a bad thing. But it just, God just took it. God just took it. My God loves me. And my God is an awesome God. And he has never left me nor forsaken me. And I can say that with all honesty. Can you really say that about your God? You know, if you really think back, and maybe God will bring something up to your remembrance that happened way back when. And God's just letting you see he was with you. And he loved you through that all, through the whole thing. And that you had love in you and you could forgive and forget. All right. So I said, love never fails. Today we're reaching for that zero failure rate. It is possible to walk in perfect love and it will come to pass. How are we going to do this? Not by becoming perfect ourselves, but by acting on the Word of God and allowing the love of God, which is perfect, to run its full course in our lives. Even though we make mistakes, that love force will be there to prevent failure. Remember that. You won't go into failure. That love force will stop it. By walking in God's love, you release a force to work in your behalf. A force that has all the appearance of weakness but is stronger than any force in existence. To walk in love is to step aside and allow the power of the universe, which is God, to come between you and the situation you are dealing with. Let's say this again. By walking in God's love, you release a force to work on your behalf, a force that has all the appearance of weakness but is stronger than any force in existence. To walk in love is to step aside and allow the power of the universe, which is God, to come between you and the situation you are dealing with. Can you do that today? Can you really step aside and let God handle the situation? Yeah, I've been reading a lot about angels and seeing people putting on Facebook and stuff where they're taking pictures of angels in the sky and everything. And, you know, and I'm totally in awe at everything everybody's saying about angels right now. And can you believe for an angel to be right here with you, sitting with you today, watching over you, even as you sit in the house of God? I think it's just absolutely awesome. And as I was reading all this yesterday, I said, God, tomorrow I would like to see everybody's angel, you know, sitting beside them, taking care of them. Because we do have one, and he is taking care of us. And it's as we walk, stay in the love walk, and walk out the love walk, that our angels will do great exploits for us. All right? I'm anxious to see one of you men are just jumping and yelling and carrying on it. Did you talk to your angel? You can talk to him, you know. I've talked to the devil. I've never talked to an angel of God, but I've seen one. But so if I can talk to the devil face to face for an hour, three times in my life, I can talk to an angel, right? So now, God, we're ready now to, aren't we all, we've all been through the devil thing, right? Aren't we all ready to do the angels from heaven thing? All right, so God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that we are going to start seeing our angels and we're going to start seeing angelic activity, right? Amen. It's all done. I'm excited about that. I really am. All right, Romans 8:37 says, nay, in other words, no, you're not a lamb for the slaughter. Romans 8:37 then says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. So you are not a lamb for the slaughter. You are a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. It is one thing to conquer. It is another thing entirely to conquer and occupy. That's where your love walk comes in. If you're walking in love, then when you conquer, you occupy. And the enemy has no more power or authority. Isn't that awesome? Didn't you miss not having the brothers and sisters in church with us? I mean, I felt so good today to have the brothers and sisters in church and hear everybody singing and rejoicing, you know. They recommend we don't sing, even though they say we can gather now. They say it's better if you don't sing because you're going to spread the germ as you sing. We're going to spread the glory as we sing, right? Come on. The praises. And I thought, I wonder if Grace is saying this because she wouldn't know what to do with herself if she read that. She would throw a fit. Who do you think you are? Tell me I can't sing and praise my Father. Where am I at? You are one spirit. Okay. You are one spirit with the Lord. Do you know that? Do you believe that? You're one spirit with the Lord. He paid the price so you wouldn't have to. You didn't have to go to the cross. He went for you. You are more than a conqueror through him who loved you, through the power of that love that he took to the cross. There is an unseen power that goes into operation when a person is developed in the love of God and knows how to walk in it. Come on. There is an unseen power that goes into operation when a person is developed in the love of God and knows how to walk in it. When the world starts to run over you because you appear to be weak, they will run into the unseen power. And they wonder, they will know that you aren't weak, but you are strong. And they better back off because they've just come in face-to-face contact with the power of God. And that devil in them doesn't want to be anywhere near you. It's all around, this power is all around you. It's in you, ever ready for whatever comes. God wants you to be full of the word and use his name without fear. It is yours to use, and God will back you with his power, just like he said he would. It is a necessity that we renew our minds to the supernatural power of the love of God. You know, God told me that when they first said we had to wear those masks, he said it was a muzzle, so we wouldn't be able to speak forth. And you know, the more I think about it and used to watch what was going on, the more I see how the enemy was really using those masks to wreak havoc in the body of Christ. And see, they locked everybody down, and everybody was sitting in their own home. And see, this is where you see where love really doesn't abound, and even in Christian people, because they, husbands and wives, are fighting each other, beating each other up, and everything else. But, you know, they locked everybody down, and everybody was in their homes getting restless and didn't want to do themselves. So now they're out there rioting, and they can't figure out why they're rioting. Well, they had to use that energy that they stored up to do something, right? So the enemy made sure that they're doing it for bad and not for good. All right? Come on. It is a necessity that we renew our minds to the supernatural power, the love of God. We must develop our faith and renew our minds so that we respond in love without having to think about it. As this is why God is teaching about love. We have to renew our minds about love. The enemy comes and torments and torments and torments. Next thing you know, we forget about the love walk because the enemy has tormented us to the point where we want to retaliate. So God said, I want to get them back in their love walk. I want to remind them that they have to stay in their love walk no matter what's going on around about them. To walk in love is to walk in the very highest spiritual realm there is. You wanted to go the third heaven? Then start walking in the love walk. Jesus walked in that realm. We have seen and operate in his earthly ministry. We must learn to live in love, walk in love, talk in love, and edify one another in love. Live, walk, talk, edify in love. Then when the pressures come, when the hard times come, when disasters approach us, we won't have to stop and think. We will immediately react in love. After today, we will do that. Before today and your refresher course, you didn't do that. But God wanted you to have this refresher course because he knows, and I'm hearing him say right now, that love has become very weak in his body, and he wants his love to become strong once again, and he doesn't want you to deny the fact that people are coming against you, but he wants you to realize that he is with you in the midst of every attack that you're going under, and he wants your love to come forth. How many of you have had your love walk tested this week? Amen. We can all about all but say amen, right? And you know, I said, devil, you're a liar from the pits of hell. We walk in the love of God. We don't walk in our own emotions, our own feelings. I'm hearing God say, today there's an anointing in the atmosphere. And you know, you can come up front if you like and lay out the spirit. But there's an anointing in the atmosphere to reactivate your love walk. To bring it back to its complete fullness. In fact, bring it back further than it was before, because you need more love now than you ever needed love in your life. And I don't know about you, but you can feel, can't you feel the heaviness of hate in the atmosphere. You know, and even in, I've heard people who are married, you know, they're even fighting with their spouses and they don't know why. It's because Satan has that hate in the atmosphere. And God wants us to be refreshed and renewed today in the love walk so that he can use us to dispel that darkness over us. So, Father God, right now, as we sit in your presence, we ask you to re-infuse us with the love of heaven, with all of its power and all of its authority. The same love, Father God, that Jesus took to the cross and died for. We're asking you right now, Father God, to fill us to overflowing, that we may be vessels of honor that you can work through. No more deceit, no more confusion, but nothing but perfect love will prevail through each vessel sitting in this room today. Overflow, Father God. We want to have so much love in us that there will be an overflow, that everybody we come in contact with, Father God, will feel that love oozing out of us, and they're going to want what we have. I just thank you for it, Father. I just praise you for it. Adam, can you blow the shofar and break the atmosphere, the hate in the atmosphere, so the love can flow? Thank you. Just stay in the presence of God and just allow God to just really infuse you with fresh, new love from on high.